Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of the most clichéic breakup lines in existence, a line that's been used since couples first started experiencing fallout and separation, is this old familiar line, "Oh, it's not you, it's me." This line is so universally known and well used, and I'm surprised that when Mike showed me the picture of Hezekiah's seal that was recently found by an archaeological dig, I'm surprised they didn't find this line laying next to it. It's that old. And of course, it's the line used to soften the blow, to lessen the hurt, when it comes to parting ways. Truth is, I don't believe a word of it. I don't think that this line speaks the truth. It's just what it is. It's a line. After all, a person doesn't break off a relationship because they're a jerk. They break it off because of the other person. It's always because of you, not me. Come on. This line is really just a way of covering up our cowardice. You don't want to tell the truth about what you really like, what really makes you mad, so you lie. Oh, it's not you, it's me. And yet there's something strangely noble about this line. There's something commendable about it. It does show, in kind of a strange way, a certain sense of compassion and care for the other person. It's obvious you don't hate them. You don't want to crush them. You don't want to eviscerate them by telling them the things that are wrong with them and all the things they did to wreck the relationship. You just want a clean break. And if that means you have to take the hit, so be it. It's not you. It's me. I'm the jerk. I'm the one with the issues. I'm to blame. And it's this well-known and very familiar reality that leads us to the words of our Lord in the Old Testament lesson. "I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from me." Did you catch it? Your God and Lord just flipped the most famous line on its head. He says, "It's not me, it's you." Now, it's important to point out that God is not breaking up with his people, Israel. Israel, as unrepentant and wayward and loose as it was still God's beloved, his cherished bride. She certainly deserved and earned the full punishment for her adulterous ways, but God took her as his bride, and God is faithful to his marriage vow. This is why he speaks in such harsh and blunt words to her, because he loves her. He loves her, and he doesn't want to see her break away and wander into the fires of hell. He loves her so much that he dares to tell her the truth. God says, "The problem here is not me. It's you. I don't change, ever. You have changed. You have turned from me just like your forefathers did." And here's the thing. It's very easy to look back at the Old Testament Israelites, shake our heads in disgust and disbelief. How could they be so foul and so adulterous? This is only about 400 years before Christ's nativity. So there's a lot of bad family history that's already played out. And it's not like they were unaware of all the sinful skeletons in their closet. They were aware of the Egyptian bondage. They were well aware of their Babylonian captivity. They were well aware of why their forefathers were brought so low and run into slavery and death in foreign lands. It wasn't because God had changed in his relationship to his people. The problem was entirely with Israel. They had changed. They had wandered. They had strayed, idolatrously chasing after other gods. And that's what makes this so unbelievable. The Israelites, under Malachi's care, knew all their sordid family history. And yet they were still doing the same things. The adulterous fruit didn't fall far from the tree at all. And it's ironic when you think about it, but the more they changed, the more things remained the same. The more they had changed in their relationship with God, the more they showed that they really hadn't changed at all. And lest we get too big for our bridal britches, even a passing glance in a mirror reveals the same sinful and adulterous situation staring back at us. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and not kept them, Malachi says. We don't really have to look hard to see that that still rings true today. It's true of all of the children of Adam. It's certainly true of our nation. It's certainly true of our families and our friends. It's true of us, but not of God. It's us. And yet, in repentant faith, we're able to hear not total gloom and doom and utter despair and hopelessness, but the gospel message of hope and comfort and peace and true love that knows no limits. We hear God proclaim it in no uncertain terms that He does not change. We are not consumed by the fire of His wrath. So it is pure good news, pure gospel. God does not change. His love for us does not change. His mercy and grace does not ebb and flow. It's constant and it's full throttle. The grace and mercy and love that our Heavenly Father and Bridegroom continually shows to us is not dependent on whether or not he had a good day at work or shot in the 60s at golf, or maybe it was more like the hundreds. It's not dependent on whether the Rams won or lost. It's not contingent on him having a good night's rest or getting stuck in traffic or going into the mall at Christmas time. That would do it for me. His love for us is unconditional. It's unchanging. He loves us in spite of us. And His love isn't like our love. Thank God for that. And it is this unchanging, immutable divine reality that also speaks and proclaims the immutable, unchanging reality of salvation and hope and forgiveness and peace. God Himself tells us in verse 3 that after the people have been refined like gold and silver in His Word, they will bring offerings of righteousness to the Lord. That Hebrew word that we translate as righteousness is often translated in the New Testament as justification. I know those Asian words in theology scare everybody. Justification, quite simply, means to be justified. It does not mean now that God just simply winks an eye and that we're okay and we're in His graces suddenly. No. Justification means that God is just, but that God has made us right through the death of His Son. It's not cheap grace, as Bonhoeffer would say. So think about that for a moment. Let it sink in. There's nothing new under the sun. God has not changed, and neither has His plan for our salvation. God's unchanging word to us will refine us. It will burn. It will hurt. And it's designed to put to death. That's what the law does. It seeks out and puts to death that which is killing us. So often we don't even realize it. It makes us painfully and acutely aware of the sin that kills us, our sin, the wages of which is death. But God doesn't leave us there. He also proclaims to us His good news, promise of life and forgiveness and peace. He justifies us. He makes us right with God through the death of His Son. He declares us, because of Jesus, completely innocent and forgiven. Not because of anything that we do or anything that we have to offer God, but because of His free and unmerited grace and love that He has for us and has shown us through His Son. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's this free and unmerited gift of divine love, this unchanging merit, this unchanging gift of our justification, which is ours solely because of the incomprehensible and unchanging love and grace that God bestows upon us because of the all-redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And that brings us into a righteous state before Him. God-pleasing fruits of repentance spring forth in the lives of God's beloved children. It is justification, being declared right before God because of Jesus' death, that is the joy of our salvation in Christ. That brings God-pleasing attitude. God praising change in your thoughts and your words and your deeds. You see, we don't do good works in order to merit our being made right with God. Rather, we do the works out of joy for our justification, our being made right with God because of Christ. It is the joy of your justification in Christ that causes you to share with those who have less or have nothing. It is the joy of your justification in Christ that causes you not to collect more than you're authorized, to not extort from others or make false accusations or anything else that goes against the word and will of your Father and your loving bridegroom. It is the joy of your absolutely free gift of justification, of eternal life and love and peace that surpasses all understanding, that causes you and compels you to willingly love as you have been loved. Forgive as you have been forgiven. There's no question that we need to change. Repent. Turn back to God and cleave to our Almighty Father and His unchanging, unconditional love. You see, that's what it's all about. That's what it's always been about. This unchanging, unconditional grace and mercy and love that God has for you so that He could effectively change the verdict of sin, changing our reality of death in sin to eternal life in Him and with Him. It is finished, Jesus said, in Christ alone and because of Christ alone. Faith alone in God's grace alone, which He bestows upon us because of Christ alone. You see, the more things change, the more they really stay the same. Thanks be to God. So may this reality of your sin, and more importantly, of your salvation, your promised salvation, Christ crucified and resurrected for you, be and remain with you always. May you never lose sight or wander away from this blessed truth. May this Christ-centered reality really change you, renewing in you a right spirit and creating in you a clean heart, setting you free in joy and peace that is known through the justification in Christ. We've been made right with God because of Christ, and it changes us. Paul said, and hopefully you caught it in the reading, may you be filled with the fruit of righteousness. That's a righteousness that's given to us. The fruit of justification that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We have merited nothing. We have been given everything. Rejoice in that during this Advent season as you repent and lay your sins at the foot of the cross, because there you find freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.